Have your Bibles today. Turn with us to James, and want to say thank you to Miss Chantel, who 2 weeks ago began our study in the book of James, and then to Pastor Tommy, who continued our study in the book of James. And it just reminded all of us in here that I'm not the only one who can preach and teach. And they did a wonderful job. I was actually watching the service last Wednesday. We were at Grand Isle, and I was on my hammock. By the way, that's a nice way to watch a service. And there's a fire call here in Berwick, so I'm going to move that so it's going to be going crazy for the next few minutes. But I'm busy. So, by the way, it's not your address. It's not. There's some people like, oh, did I leave the stove? No, it wasn't your address. Okay. But I was watching a service last Wednesday night, and it was kind of cool. I liked a few things, even added a few sayings, so that was really, really nice. So we appreciate Brother Donald and Brother Witt, who's filming me right now. Hey there. Pastor Tommy, for helping us set up our Facebook Live, which is, if you're ever not able to make our services on Wednesday nights and on Sundays, try to check us out through our church Facebook page, okay? Also, a great thing for you to do is make sure you like our church Facebook page so that we can kind of get that word out a little bit more. It's amazing. It's one of the great opportunities to reach out to your community. People will check you out first on Facebook or on the web before they come visit your church. So let's try to get that stuff out there. James chapter number 1. I'm going to back up just a little bit and start with verse number 5. Just because it's personally one of my favorite verses, okay? And I realize that Miss Chantel ripped through like 8 verses on week 1, okay? Pastor Tommy slowed it down a little bit. Well, I'm going to get into granny gear, okay? I'm going to be the big old tractor that just goes real, real slow, okay? But it's good stuff today. I love the book of James. James is one of the most practical books of the Bible. You know, it's just a few short chapters, but it's packed with some stuff, okay? You're probably going to get your toes stepped on during this study, okay? If it make you feel better, I'm going to get my toes stepped on, okay? I mean, it's almost like you should have to wear steel toe boots because James pulls no punches. This guy just comes right after it, and, you know, James and fluff are not in the same sentence, okay? You know, every now and then like the book of John. I love John. John the Beloved. John, I wouldn't say he added fluff, but he added a lot of color. It was like real personal, and John was so tender, and James is not that, okay? James just comes at, he's as subtle as a heart attack. I mean, he's just right at you, and you know, he gets after it real, real quick in the first couple of verses by saying that we should count it all joy when we go through tough times. Now, I am glad I passed that off to somebody else to preach, because that's hard to preach. And if it's hard to preach, it's even harder to live, isn't it? Okay? You know, can you smile through your trial? I actually wrote that it sounded like a good title to a message. Okay? Can you smile through your trial? You know, sometimes you have to do that by faith. Sometimes you just have to act your way into feeling. You know, anybody ever been there? Yeah, it's called when you visit your wife's side of the family. That joke would have been a lot better if she wasn't sitting on the front row. But, so let's get started. James chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. And basically what we're going to talk about in verses 5 through 12 is ways to conquer and overcome trials and temptation. Okay? You know what, guys? This is not just a message for teenagers. Okay? It's a message for all of us. As long as there's breath in our lungs, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through temptations. Okay? In fact, Jesus himself said, in this life you will have trouble. Okay? Now, did he stop there? No, he didn't. He said, but I've overcome this world. And because he overcame the world, we can overcome the world. Well, James gives us some practical ways to do that, okay? So trials and temptations are common to all of us, okay? I've heard it said one time that you're either going through a trial, you've just been through a trial, or you're about to go through a trial. Wow. Pastor, can you be a little more positive? Yeah. I'm positive that you're either going through a trial, you've just been through a trial, or you're about to go through a trial, okay? How many have lived long enough to figure out that to be true, okay? I mean, there's a military group called the SEALs, and they have a saying that says the only easy day was yesterday, Okay, there are not many easy days for a Christian. Okay, there's always something that we have to overcome, and James gives us some practical ways to do that. So let's take a look at it and let's read it together. James chapter number 1, starting in verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised them that love him. So, three things that James talks about. The way for us to conquer trials and temptations. Three things we're supposed to do. Number one, ask God for wisdom. Okay? Now, guys, that doesn't just work when it comes to trials and temptations. That works in every area of our life. Okay? This is probably one of the scriptures that I pray the most. James 1 and 5. Because I'm not sure what to do in situations. Okay? And I ask God for wisdom. Just today, I was sitting in this sanctuary praying, and I was thinking about some situations that I had to deal with, and I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Because here's the thing about God, he already sees every facet to the story. Okay, I met with somebody today, and it was an awesome little thing. She said there's four gospels, okay, and that means there's the same story being told four different ways, right? Four different perspectives. We know that. Okay, how many have been in situations where you realize that there's four gospels to what happened between your two kids? There's four gospels when Hunter and Hayden try to describe to me what happened. Okay? There's four gospels when Charles and Samuel try to explain why whatever happened. Can anybody relate? Okay? And we used to think there was always three stories, three sides to every story, his, hers, and the truth. Okay? But I've realized it's probably even more than that. So four gospels. I borrowed that little saying right there. But there's three things that we need to do when we deal with tough times, when we deal with trials. Number one, ask God for wisdom. Number two, rejoice in where you are. Rejoice that God is for you. Rejoice in the fact that you're not in it alone. And then finally, remember the reward for enduring. So let's break that down a little bit. So how can a believer conquer trials and temptations? The first thing we need to do is ask God for wisdom. Wisdom means far more than just knowledge. I think Pastor Tommy brought this out last week. Far more than just being intellectual about life or in some area of life. Knowledge is grasping the facts. And most people in this world have heads that are full of facts, okay? They have a lot of knowledge. But how many know wisdom is rare? Okay, it's kind of like common sense. How many have figured out that common has become the new uncommon sense? Brother Bernie, your generation had tons of common sense. My generation, not so much. Okay, and in fact, I think common sense should be redefined as uncommon sense. Okay, because it's not near as common as it used to be. So knowledge is facts. Knowledge is degrees. Knowledge is letters behind your name. Okay, and we've met folks that have tons of knowledge, but when it comes to wisdom, not so much. Wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying it to your life. Applying it through the filter of God's word and being a benefit to society. Millions on this earth are knowledgeable. People with their heads full of knowledge. But wisdom is really what's needed. Wisdom is not having a head full of facts. It is not only seeing or wisdom is more than just having a head full of facts. It's not only seeing and knowing all about life, it's seeing and knowing what to do about it. Okay? You know, there's a commercial, And this guy, I think it's kind of like a security system. And, you know, so many times we have security monitoring systems, okay? And the point they were trying to make is some systems just monitor a problem. They don't do anything about it. And the guy's a dentist, and he opens up a guy's mouth. He goes, whoa, come see this. And his assistant comes by, Miss Lorraine. They say, that's the biggest, nastiest cavity I've ever seen in my life. And then he goes, okay, well aren't you going to fix it? No, we don't fix stuff. We just monitor it, okay? We just tell you, you have a problem. What good is that? That's kind of what knowledge is, okay? People have tons of knowledge, but if you can't apply it, it doesn't do you a lot of good, right? We got a lot of folks that are like that. Wisdom comes from God, and it's not only having a grasp of what's going on, it tells you what you need to do about it. Wisdom grasps the great truths of life. It sees the trials and temptations that surround life and death, God and man, time and eternity. It takes the deep things of the universe and of God. Wisdom not only grasps these facts, but then it tells you what to do about it. Wisdom not only understands that there's trials and temptations, but it understands how you should act in response to them. Now, how many could use that kind of wisdom? Absolutely. We could use it in everyday life. We could use it in our own walk with the Lord. We can use it in... How many could use it as a parent? How many could use it as a grandparent? I'm not a grandparent yet, but I could use it as a parent, okay? Man, I did not realize that my first summer with both of my boys having driver's license was going to be so doggone crazy. Hayden's got wheels on his butt. He don't want to stay home. He's always on the road, okay? And it's driving his mama crazy. And how many know if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? So he's driving mama crazy. She's driving me crazy, okay? So pray for us. But we need wisdom. We need to not only have the facts, but know what to do about it. And the good news is James promises when we lack wisdom in any area, we can ask God for it. And guess what? He'll give it to us. Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know as a Christian that God will give you wisdom, that God will give you the playbook, that God will give you insights that you couldn't ordinarily know? Note the wonderful promises made to us when we ask God for wisdom. Number one, He will give it to us. Boy, that's good right there. He'll give it to us. He'll also give us a liberal amount. He won't just give us a little bit. He'll give us more than enough. He'll also not reproach us or rebuke us. He won't scold us. How many remember back in school that one teacher that you were scared to ask a question in her class? You remember that teacher? Okay. I mean, Dawn, we'd raise our hand real sheepishly. I remember I was in this class, and most of my classes I really did a pretty good job in. And I did a pretty good job in here, but it was advanced math, okay? And I was good at the easy math, but as it got advanced, not so much, okay? And I remember there was a few times we were just so thoroughly confused, we'd lift our hand and say, I don't even remember her name, and it's probably best that, Chantel remembers her name. I won't say it because we're live, okay? But I said, we don't understand. And her response, Miss Julie, was, that's not a question, okay? Ask a question. And we were so confused, we couldn't ask a question. And I finally decided to be the spokesperson for the class, and I said, ma'am, we are so thoroughly confused, we cannot formulate a question. But we don't know what we're doing, okay? And you know, she scolded us for it, okay? But I think she kind of started back and tried to redo it, and I think we still didn't know what we were doing, okay? And I'm glad I'm not a math teacher today. But here's the deal. She kind of scolded me. She made me feel bad. You ever had a teacher do that, okay? You ever had somebody do that? God won't do that. God won't do that. He loves you. He cares for you. He understands what you're going through. His own son went through some of the things you're going through. So when you ask for wisdom, when you ask for help, He'll give it to you. He'll answer that request, and He won't hold it against you. That's good to know, isn't it? Jesus Himself illustrated the importance of wisdom in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, where He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. It's interesting that it's now hurricane season and we're talking about those things, okay? It beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was what? Founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Guys, we need wisdom. We've seen destruction. We've seen tragedy. We've seen people's spiritual houses come crumbling down. We need to make sure that we're not that. We need to make sure that we have wisdom, not just head knowledge, but we know what to do in different situations. The writer of Proverbs said this in Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 13 and 14. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain, therefore, than fine gold. Basically, wisdom is more precious than silver and gold. He adds in Proverbs 8 and 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom is an important thing, guys. Now, here's a critical fact. Not only are we supposed to ask for wisdom, but we need to make sure that we're asking for it in faith. We have a responsibility. We must do something. And whether or not God hears us depends upon us doing this one thing. If we do it, God hears us and gives us wisdom to conquer trials and temptations, to handle situations in life. If we do not do it, God cannot hear us. What is that thing we must do? When we ask God to give us wisdom and to conquer some difficulty, we must ask in faith and not waver. It's that key ingredient, faith. It's that key ingredient, okay? If you will, all of us in here are Cajun folks, okay? If you're not a Cajun folks, we'll adopt you for the next few minutes, okay? What is the key to most Cajun dishes? A roux, right? Okay? Now, I make the old-fashioned roux. I'm oil and I'm flour, okay? And I'm in a black iron pot, okay? Now, I know you can do a dry roux, and you can do it however you want to do it. I'm going to do it my way, okay? And you've tasted some of my food. It comes out okay, okay? But the key ingredient is you got to do the roux right. If you can do the roux right, guess what? Man, you can make gumbos. You can make etouffee. You can do so much good stuff if you can get the roux right. If you mess the roux up, whew, okay? How many in here ever burnt a roux, ever scorched a roux, okay? I did it before I used the black iron pot. I remember the first time I used one of them little Walmart pots. Man, come on now. Okay, hey, they should say not for making roux, okay, and I learned that the hard way. Man, it stinks, okay, and it just ruins everything. But guess what? The key ingredient to Cajun cooking is you got to have a good roux. The key ingredient to your Christian walk is that thing called faith. And guys, when we ask God for wisdom, when we come to Him with situations, we have to ask in faith. We have to recognize that, number one, He knows the answer. How many can acknowledge that God knows all things, okay? God's smarter than you are. Guess what? God's smarter than your pastor is, okay? God is, think about the smartest human being you know. He doesn't even begin to scratch the amount of wisdom, knowledge, understanding that God the Father has. So number one, we got to know that God knows all things, that He really exists, that He really cares about what you're going through. Amen? One of my favorite scriptures is found in 1 Peter, and it says, casting all your cares on Him, knowing what? That He cares for you. You've got to realize that. You've got to understand that. Because you know what? If you don't believe that He can help you, you won't go to Him. You know what? If I want to find some things out about how to catch fish, I'm going to talk to Ricky Navarro, because he knows how to catch fish. Okay? If I have some problems, if I want something decorated, I'm coming to talk to you, Sister Sarah, because you know what you're doing, okay? If I want to know something about wrestling, Austin's my man, okay? I mean, look, we go to people that have knowledge, that know what they're talking about, okay? If I won't do this, but if I want to sing a song, I'm going to get Sister Garland to help me, okay? Don't worry, we did that before 15 years ago. We've scratched that off the list. It ain't going to happen again, okay? But I'm going to go to people that are knowledgeable. I'm going to go to people that kind of know what they're doing. Guys, we have to realize God is all-knowing. There's nothing He does not understand. There's nothing He does not have the answer for. So when we go to Him, we have to go in faith, believing that He cares for you, believing that He's there for you, believing that He has the answer for you. And look, It's really hard for faith and doubt to coexist. It's like oil and water. It don't mix, okay? So when we go to God, we have to go in faith. Because what happens if we doubt? If we doubt, what does the Bible say? Doubting keeps us from being heard by God. God cannot answer the prayer of a doubting person. If he did, when he would be rewarding doubt instead of faith. God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him by faith. God honors faith, okay? Anything short of that is doubt. He cannot reward doubt. He cannot reward folks that would deny him or not go to him. God honors faith, and you and I as men and women of God have to understand that. Note what the scripture says about the person who wavers in their faith. First, that person is just like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind, tossed to and fro. You ever met folks like that? Sister Anna Lee, you ever met folks like that, tossed to and fro? They just got to have a little faith, okay? Secondly, the person shall not receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because a person who wavers back and forth does not know the value of God's gifts. If God granted them, that person would not always use them nor use the gifts properly. God will not waste his gifts on folks that doubt. And thirdly, the person who wavers in faith is a double-minded person, unstable in all his ways. Let's not be that way. Let's not be that way. Let's be men and women of faith. Amen? Unbelief even limited Jesus. Did you know that? Unbelief limited Jesus. In Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 58, it says, talking about Jesus, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Talking about his hometown. Jesus went to his hometown. Where else could Jesus have been a blessing? His own hometown. But what was the problem? They said, who is this? Isn't that Joseph's boy? Didn't I have him fix something for me a year ago? Isn't that just a carpenter's son? That unbelief cost them so many blessings. How much has our unbelief cost us? Just think about that for a second. How much has unbelief cost us? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the very first thing we have to do to overcome temptation, to deal with difficult times, and guess what? You're going to have to deal with difficult times, is ask God by faith for wisdom. Amen? Second thing we got to do in verses 9 through 11 is realize and recognize how blessed you really are. How can a believer conquer trials and temptations? Second, he must rejoice in his status in life. It does not matter whether a person is rich or poor, healthy or unhealthy, crippled or sound. He is to rejoice in the Lord. As Thessalonians says, rejoice in the Lord always. The believer of lowly status is to rejoice in the Lord. This does not mean he's rejoiced because he's poor, unhealthy, or crippled. It means he's to rejoice in Christ despite his circumstances. No matter our circumstances, rejoice in the Lord. Sunday, I preached on the Beatitudes, and many of those things, when you first read over them, a first perusal of the Beatitudes, they make no sense whatsoever. But after we thought about them a little bit, we realized if we're going to live the blessed life, we have to begin to look at blessings in a different way. Let me read the Beatitudes to you one more time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember, poor in spirit is recognizing you need God, recognizing that God can come through for you. That's a position to be blessed. Blessed are they which mourn, for they will be comforted. Guys, at some time or another, we're all going to mourn. At some time or another, we're all going to go through a difficult time. But at those times, God promises to comfort us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Paul continues along these same lines in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, talking about the blessed life, talking about how we need to recognize how blessed we really are. chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, look what Paul has learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Doesn't that give a little light into Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, guys, we need to learn how blessed we really are. You know, one of the greatest things that I've had the privilege of doing so many times is going on missions trips. And one thing about a missions trip is you will never return the same. If for nothing else, you come back from that missions trip totally recognizing how blessed you really are. Okay? And you know, whether you go just a little south of the border, or even if maybe you go to some of our urban areas, there's places in New Orleans, guys, that if you went to today, you would recognize how blessed we are right here in Berwick. Okay? I mean, we are a blessed people. We really, really are. And sometimes we forget about that. The enemy wants us to forget about that. The enemy wants you to forget how good God has been to you. Amen? There needs to be times, and let it be more than just one Sunday a year, Thanksgiving Sunday, when the pastor is going to preach on being thankful. Let it be more than that one Sunday a year where you begin to count your blessings. You know, sadly, so many more times we count our burdens. We count the things that aren't going so well. But let's not forget to count our blessings. Think about how good God has been to you. Amen? And when you do that, it begins to change things. It may not initially change your circumstances, but it changes your heart. And guys, when your heart is different, everything is different. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12, Jesus promised, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer, if we go through difficult times, keeping a sweet spirit, we will reign with him. Revelation 3 and 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even also as I have overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. You see, guys, so many times we allow our circumstances to depress us and discourage us, and ultimately, if you don't stop it, defeat us. But let's learn a lesson to be thankful for the blessings that are in our life. Amen? So that's just to those that are going through difficult times, but James also talks to those that are seemingly blessed in the world's eyes. The believer of rich or high status in life is also to rejoice in that he is made low by God. What does that mean? First, a rich or high person is not accepted by God because of who he has or what he has or where he lives. He's accepted because of Jesus Christ, and that's something for us to be thankful for. Guys, we are blessed in order to be a blessing. You've heard that before. I've preached that before. But we got to recognize how blessed we really are. The enemy doesn't want you to count your blessings. Let's make sure that's a regular habit, okay? You know, we are creatures of habit. You get up in the morning and you do the same thing every morning. That's a good thing, because I don't know about you, but my thoughts are a little foggy in the morning, okay? So I normally trudge to the bathroom and I take care of a few items in there and I brush my teeth because, ooh, that breath ain't good in the morning, okay? And then I go to my Keurig because I need coffee, okay? How many are like that? I need coffee, okay? If you ever have a morning meeting with your pastor, make sure I have my coffee first, okay? By the way, I'm smart enough to not try to meet with anybody before I have my coffee. I don't even talk to Chantel and the kids before I have coffee, other than, okay? I mean, Austin, you're more talkative than I am before coffee, okay? I mean, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm a zombie. Can anybody relate? You're there, right? Okay? But sometimes the enemy wants us to forget how blessed we are. Let's not do that. Amen? Let's not do that. Let's remember how blessed we really, really are. And then finally, so number one, we need to ask in faith. We need to ask for wisdom from the Lord. We need to ask in faith. We also need to recognize how blessed we really are. And the third thing for us to do is to remember that there's a prize at the end. To remember that there's a reason for us to overcome temptation, overcome trials, and make it through as an overcomer. We must remember the reward at the end. We will be blessed and shall receive a crown of life. Think about that, guys. The person who endures temptation shall be blessed. This refers to this life, to the here and now. The word blessed means inward and spiritual joy and satisfaction, an inner assurance and confidence that carries one through trials and temptations of life, no matter the pain, no matter the difficulty. Simply stated, the person is secure in this life. He knows that God is for him and not against him, that God is fighting his battles. That's a good thing, amen? That's the blessed life right here in this life. Who wants to live a blessed life? I think that's an IQ question. That's making sure we're still awake. We want to live the blessed life. Job 17 and 9 says it this way. The righteous also shall hold on his way. He that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. That's a picture of being blessed. That's a picture of growing in grace. But guess what? The blessings don't stop in this life. The blessings carry on. The person who finishes well, the person who keeps the faith, the person who overcomes temptations and trials will receive a crown of life in the next world. Just imagine the actual moment when Jesus Christ will crown us with the crown of life. Being crowned with the crown of life will fill us with unspeakable joy, will bestow upon us honor and dignity, give us a deep and perfect sense of victory and triumph, will transform us to the image of eternal royalty. I read this scripture just yesterday when I was at my dad's house. John chapter number 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Who's the you? It's us. It's those that have our faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what we're going through on this side of glory. I promise you guys, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it all. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. For our light affliction. Now keep in mind who wrote those words. Okay? You and I could say, because of our light affliction. This is Paul. This is Paul who was shipwrecked multiple times. This was Paul who was stoned to death. This was Paul who was flogged, who was beaten, who said, for this light affliction. Look, if Paul was on the boat, you probably didn't want to be on the boat. Okay? Brother Bernie, you wouldn't have wanted Paul on your boat back in the day. Because his boat trips didn't go well. Okay? I mean, this guy... And he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How was Paul able to say what he'd been through was light affliction? He had his eyes not on his circumstances, but on his future. He had his eyes on the prize. He had his eyes on the goal. Amen? And that's what we've got to do. The enemy wants us to be short-sighted. The enemy wants us to be nearsighted. He wants us to look what's going on around us, the difficulties that we're all going through, how you got more month than check left, how things are not going for you. God wants you to see past those light afflictions and see what's ahead. Amen? 1 John 2 and 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life. The person who endures trials and temptations is the person who will be blessed and receive the crown of life. Endurance is absolutely essential. A person has to endure. A person has to, man, just a bulldog tenacity. You've got to be tough to serve God. Okay? No wimps allowed. You've got to be tough to serve God. Okay? You got to make up your mind that this is what I'm going to do. You've got to be passionate about this. You've got to be serious about this, okay? We got to endure. We got to hang in there. We have to conquer and triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you've heard me say this before. We're not contending for victory. We're fighting from a place of victory. I read the end of the book, guys. We win. We win. We win. You know, every now and then, I've been known to watch a channel called ESPN. okay? Every now and then, Brother Rick, just I watch a ball game, okay? And believe it or not, it's this time of the year when there's no football going on except Canadian football, and I don't care about Canadian football. They begin to show games that have already played, okay? So I watch them sometimes, okay? And Sister Eloise, when I know how it's going to end, I'm not sitting on the edge of my seat, okay? Because I know how it's going to end, okay? So when I watch a game that maybe when I watched it live, I was striving, I was stressed. I'm watching a game, and since I know how it ends, it's just I'm just killing time, okay? I'm just going, yeah, I'm just in my nothing box, okay? I'm just de-stressing. Guys, this life, I know how it's going to end. For the Christian, we win. Amen? Guys, look, cancer is not going to beat my dad. He wins. Cancer doesn't win. Amen? What you're going through won't win. You win because Jesus won. Amen? He won. He paid the price. He bought our victory. We will win if we don't quit. The weakling caves in. Therefore, he doesn't experience the sense of being blessed. He doesn't have the confidence and assurance of God's presence. Don't be like that. Finish. Matthew 10:22. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? The person who loves the Lord is the person who endures to the end. He's the person who's faithful to the Lord. He follows and obeys the Lord, trusting that God does all things well. I close with a couple scriptures. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that who loves me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 15, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And then I close with this. You may be going through something today. You may be going through some temptation. Recognize the promise given to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What's my takeaway? Three little words: God is faithful. Amen? Guys, let's live our lives knowing without a shadow of a doubt that our God is faithful. Knowing without a shadow of a doubt that he is for us and not against us. Knowing without a shadow of a doubt that the faith that we have put in this holy word, the faith that we have put in the work of his only son, Jesus Christ, will not, Sister Janet, let us down. That faith will carry us through. It'll carry us through this life into the next. Amen? Because our God is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for each and every person here. I thank you, Lord God, as we go through difficult times, we do not go through them alone. I pray right now for those that are struggling in some area of their life, that God, they would ask for wisdom from you, that they would get understanding from you, that they would look to you, the author and the finisher of their faith, recognizing that simple little phrase I shared, that you are faithful. God, I thank you right now that you're for us and not against us. I thank you right now that you're for this church and not against it. God, I thank you right now that you want us to live the blessed life. Help us, Lord God, to have that key ingredient called faith. Build up our faith. Strengthen our faith, Lord God. Help us to get in this word, because that's how faith cometh. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would help us to grow in our walk with you. Help us to grow in our love for you and our love for one another. Help us, Lord, as Pastor Tommy sang, for us to build our life upon you, upon your word, upon your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. I pray right now over every person here that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, and you would continue to show yourself strong and powerful through them. No matter what they may be going through, God, you will see us through because you are faithful. Bless this congregation. Bless this people. Bless this church and this community. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody would say, amen.